On this Memorial Weekend, we are thankful for all those men and women who have stood in the gap to defend and protect our liberties. And today's the day that we, along with the rest of this weekend, are mindful of these things. And that great phrase comes to mind. All gave some gave all. And that is true. That continues to be true. That has been true throughout the history of our nation, and I guess throughout the history of all the nations of the world, because there's always tyranny at the door. The evil that resides in the hearts of men is always there, ready and willing to usurp the liberties of others and enslave them. And so we are well advised to remain thankful and mindful of our liberties and not take them for granted, because it is so easy to forget and take things for granted. And when it comes to the freedoms that we have in this country, since we've been born into them, those of us here, none of us are old enough to hearken back to the days of the colonists prior to the Revolutionary War. Because of that, we tend to take all these things for granted. We're born free. And as a result, sometimes don't think much about what that means and what that costs, and that the world is full of people who are not free, that they are being subjected to horrible things, and tyrannical men continue to preside over evil situations. And I just love the notion that our country's been founded on, that all men were created equal and granted by their Creator to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, that's in our primary documents, and to be created equal is something most people don't understand. What does that mean? Obviously, some people are more well healed than others. They have advantages others don't have. Some people are great athletes. Some people are not. Some people are tall. Some people are short. Some people are intelligent. Some people are average. And some people are, born into wealthy families. Some aren't. So what did they mean when they said all men are created equal? Well, it's really simple. The founders looked to the Word of God, looked to God, and understood that what God would mean by that is all men are born free and independent from the rulership, subjection, and domination of other men. And so each of us were born that way. That's true for the animal kingdom as well, born without anybody or anything having dominance over you. That has to take place after you're born. And of course, in our country here, that's guaranteed, that freedom to remain free from the authority, free and independent from the authority and rule of others, that's guaranteed. And we choose, we consent to give that up to our government, certain factors of it. That's what that's all about, that we allow by consent to be governed. And of course, that's limited. And just a wonderful truth when you understand it. And it's also wonderful to realize that after 200 and almost 40 years, we're still living under those same premises. And boy, it's been challenged so many, many times. And it still continues to be challenged even as we sit here today in the Teaching Center on this Sunday, the 24th, I believe it is, right, of May. I just went back in time a little bit. Happens when you get older. In May of 2015, year of our Lord. So it's good to remember this and not take this for granted. because there's always somebody looking to take that from you. And unless you willingly give it up, unless you willingly consent to be under the rule or authority of somebody or something, then the only other way they can have that is if they take it from you, which they're always trying to do. And that's what Memorial Day is supposed to be, to remember those individuals who did so much to protect our rights along those lines. And we need to stay thankful for that, not take that for granted, the blood that's been spilled. And as the man said, the tree of liberty needs to be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots. Sad but true. Just like our relationship with God needed to be purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That, thankfully, does not need to be refreshed, because he gave one sacrifice forever to set us free. So we are spiritually free. And unless we choose to give that up, we will remain free. We can choose to put ourselves in bondage. People willingly allow themselves to be bound by habits, thoughts, memories, spiritual realities, evil ones, and so other people. It's up to us. You know, when it comes to memories, which is what a memorial is all about, a memorial is something you set up to remind you of something. In the Bible, you read where Joshua, for instance, told the children of Israel to take stones. One man from each of the 12 tribes, take stones and set them up as a reminder. Because you set a stone there and it's going to be there a long, long time. It'll outlive the men who put it there as a constant reminder. Tombstones, for instance, and you probably today or tomorrow perhaps you'll see images on the television or in the newspaper, or perhaps you'll go to one of these events that they have around the country. We'll have one here in over by the Parks Highway in Wasilla, or is that Palmer where that is? Right by the border there, where they'll have a memorial service where they have that wall. And of course, you know, you're reminded of these things. You have this memorial there, which is to remind you, just like the tombstones that are there to remind you. And you can choose in life, because we all have memories, you can choose what memories to revel in. You can choose to be sad and think about negative things, or you can choose to be joyful and mindful of things that are happy, happy thoughts, happy memories, joyful memories. And you can think that about people that you've known and loved who've fallen asleep. You can be, once you're over the grief of their departure, you can be reminded, they can stay in your heart until the Lord's return. They can stay in your heart by virtue of good memories. You don't have to think of the negative ones. And so it's our choice to do that. It's our choice to remember the men and women who sacrificed for us and be thankful for their sacrifice, not take it for granted. And more than anything, never forget what God has done for us. Here in Deuteronomy, if you'll go there with me, to chapter 8, we'll begin to consider what I have titled today in this teaching, In Memoriam, which of course, the word memorial and memoriam comes from the word memory. That's the root of it all. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, all the commandments, verse 1, which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord God sware unto your fathers. This is what God told the children of Israel. This is what they were told by the man Moses, and later by Joshua. And I'm sure others who stood with Moses and Joshua, men like Caleb, for instance. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And the children of Israel, what they did and what they didn't do is in the scriptures for us as a memorial, to remember what God did when he delivered them to remember what they did when they were walking in his sight in a pleasurable way, and also to not behave as they did when they walked contrary to his word. And so it's what it is and what it is not. That's the way I look at these things when I read these records. And sometimes for me, what it is not is a bigger lesson than what it is, what it should be. For the children of Israel, they had some really sorry situations that they brought upon themselves. And yet God would continually deliver them. Look, if God would divide the Red Sea for a bunch of stiff-necked people who just mumbled and complained over and over and over again about everything, if he would do that for them, why would he not do the little things for you that you need to have him do for you on a regular basis throughout the course of your life as you and I wait for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why would God not do that? And so let's get our expectations up. And let's remember, let's not forget what he did for the children of Israel. All these records in the Word of God are there to remind us of these things. They were supposed to remember what God did, because they had a tendency of having selective and short memories, as people do today. Verse 3, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. That is, he allowed them to be hungry. And yet he fed them with manna, bread from heaven. There was no other way to have sustenance. He provided it for them, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know. And this is so important that Jesus Christ said this on the opening of his earthly ministry. He quoted this passage and this particular phrase from this passage, to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And of course, the words that proceed out of the mouth of God are found within our Bibles today, as they were taken from the manuscripts. And somebody put a lot of toil and effort into translating these words and preserving these words and canonizing these words into what we call the Bible, so that we have these words. And we live in a country that guarantees us the freedom to not only have these Bibles and not only have these words, but to actually speak them and live by them. There are places on this globe which you cannot do that without persecution. There are those who would force their beliefs upon others. There are those, in Islam for instance, who will behead those who do not believe as they do. As a matter of fact, that's the tenet that Muhammad presented to the others who were following him and those who they attempted to usurp and defeat. That was it. They gave them three choices: either become a Muslim, or be a slave and pay taxes, or die. There's your choice. No fourth option. And it's like that for other people who have belief systems today that others don't agree with throughout our globe. Yet here in this country, we have a right to do that. We have a right to believe as we choose. We ought to cherish that. We ought to exercise that. We ought to never, ever, ever take that for granted. And we ought to be so very thankful for those who have given their life's blood from time to time, and even as we speak, so that these liberties we have are protected. The children of Israel were to remember that man does not live by bread only. Today in our country, people seem to get so sidetracked by bread that they forget about the Word of God, which is where true life comes from. Now, of course, man needs bread to live. You do. There's no question about that. Your biological life is sustained by nutrition. And the word bread, simply a universal word for sustenance. We used to use that back in the day to describe money. Today it's called, they call it cheddar. What do you do with cheddar? Well, if you're like me, you eat it. I like cheddar cheese. And so cheddar or bread, just simply symbolic of a greater reality. Sustenance, that which sustains life. And of course, we need sustenance, physical sustenance, to sustain physical life. And you are what you eat. You eat the wrong stuff. If you don't eat clean and healthy, your body, your physical body, is going to reap the consequence of that. If you eat too much of any particular thing, your physical body will reap the consequence of that. Well, the children of Israel were taught something with this manna, this bread from heaven. They were taught that man does not live by bread alone, physical sustenance, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Not a word here and a word there. Not, well, I like these words, but I don't like those words. Every word, not selective. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. To do this, he fed them manna. They needed physical sustenance. They complained. They didn't have enough to eat. This was after they were delivered with a high hand from Egypt and the slavery and bondage in Egypt. They were set free. And there they were, free, and they were complaining. They wanted to go back and eat from the flesh pots of Egypt. There were no flesh pots for them, maybe for the Egyptians, but not for them. They were deluded, and that's how people are. Tend to forget, become unthankful, take things for granted, which is what they did. And so he took care of them with manna from heaven. And how he did that was it would only appear once a day, and just enough to sustain the numbers of their families for that one day. Not enough to store it, not enough to squirrel it, not enough to save it for the next day. If they were greedy and collected more than they needed, it would rot and stink and become infested with worms, i.e. maggots, become disgusting, decompose. Except for the day before the Sabbath, because then on the Sabbath, they weren't supposed to go do anything like that. So there'd be enough for 2 days. And this was to teach them something, that you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Verse 4, thy raiment, their clothing, waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You chasten your son, you teach him, you guide him, you show him where he's wrong, you don't enable him to do negative things, you equip him to do positive, godly things. And sometimes that means the removal of certain privileges, sometimes that means a good licking. Or to the woodshed, like my granddaddy used to do, Granddaddy Mathis, and Grandmammy Mathis. She'd send the boys, my dad and his brother, out to get switches. And they'd get their little butts fanned if they didn't obey. And if they complained, they didn't want to go to school, she'd fix them with a dose of salt so they'd spend the day in the outhouse. And they learned. Just like all children do. This is what God did with the children of Israel, to teach them, not to hurt them, not to starve them, but to teach them, I'll take care of you. It'll be there again tomorrow. You eat what you got today. You can only live one day at a time. You don't live yesterday. And you're not going to live tomorrow until tomorrow gets here. No guarantee for tomorrow. You'll eat today. Trust the Lord thy God. Trust him. And he took care of them. Therefore, thou shalt keep, verse 6, the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to respect him, to reverence him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, that thy heart is lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the flock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish a covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. And they did that time and time again. And we see people in these different places on the planet that, you know, they have pagan lifestyles. Do they have productive lands? Do they? No, they do not. And why? Because they do not serve the Lord God. And you can't, this country of ours has been so rich, so full, so productive, so abundant, more than any country on the face of this planet ever. Why? Because it was built upon the principles of the Word of God and a reverence for God and His Word. And as you see today, these days, you have some places in this country where these things are no longer as fruitful as they used to be, where there are droughts and other things. Take note at the behavior of the individuals who think all that comes into their hand is by their own power, who do nothing but boast of themselves, who have forgotten to be thankful, even thankful for the country that we live in, even thankful for the freedoms and liberties that our country guarantees. And so on this Memorial Weekend, would it not behoove us to remain thankful and not take any of this for granted? Most especially, not the things that God has done for us. We as humans, we are nothing in and of ourselves. No man can really do anything for himself, were it not for God. A man or a woman that has certain talents, be it intelligence or physical or whatever it might be, that's not their doing. You're not born intelligent because you did anything to deserve that or earn that. You're not born to become an athlete because you have done something to have physical prowess or any of the other things that men seem to consider accolades, seem to elevate themselves and boast themselves of. The children of Israel, same thing. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, I have learned the secret that whether I abound or whether I abase, I am full. I know how to live. That's the secret of life. Knowing how to move on with the Word of God, knowing how to give God the credit no matter what's thrown at you. When everything's going great, well, praise God. When everything's not going great, well, praise God. Because it'll turn around someday. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. If you go there, please. Proverbs, words to rule and govern life by. Now, of course, we're born free. We're born equal. We are born free from the rule, free and independent from the rule and authority of others. That includes God's Word. We are not bound to believe this word of God because God has given everyone freedom of will. We have to willingly say, you know what? This word of God is going to be my only rule for faith and practice. You know what? If these are proverbs, if these proverbs are rules, words to rule and govern life by, then I want my life governed and ruled by them. You'll never go wrong doing that. Proverbs 30, verse 7. This is so wise. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me, look at this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Food convenient for me. In other words, my allowance. You know, that prayer that Jesus taught the disciples when they asked, well, how should we pray? Here's something you can pray for. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the general essence of it. Thank you for taking care of me today. One of the things, every morning when I wake up, one of the first things that comes in my head, I thank God for the day. I thank God for yet another day. I thank God for another day above ground and vertical. I do. I every day. And that's a good thing. Because there's a lot of people that are not above ground every day. It's like my mama used to say, one day you wake up and you're dead, right? Or people wake up and they're not vertical, they're horizontal. And maybe they spend their life that way. So just be thankful for whatever you got going on. And don't forget all that God has done for you. Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, my daily allowance, lest or unless I be full and deny thee. And say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. What a tremendous way to live life. Those are rules right there to govern an individual's life. Be thankful. Remember what God has done for you today, just today, and what he did yesterday. Of course, there's the promise of tomorrow. Don't get too full of yourself. Don't think you've brought anything into your own life by yourself. God is the one who's done that. And oh, not the United States government, which has absolutely no way of making any resource on its own. They simply take it from the governed. It's called taxes. And the taxes that they take need to be done so by representation. In other words, we, who are all born equal, choose, we consent to allow our governing body to take a certain amount of revenue so as to be able to run the governing body and do the things that the governing body was put in place to do, which is to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's it. Beyond that, it's an overreach. And they didn't do nothing for you. They didn't make you. People look to the government for everything. How about we look to God who's done everything for us? The government's done nothing for us. They're only supposed to represent us. You see these people all the time. They're successful in sports or business or entertainment, which some of that, I don't know how it's even entertaining. And they get so full of themselves. How do their lives end? Do they wind up any better than the person who's a pagan squatting in the dirt in the Middle East? And the only thing they have that even resembles modern civilization is an AK-47? And a cell phone, thank you, Sue. Somehow they got those too, right? Ah. Yeah, so, and internet. What? It's ridiculous, isn't it? Two things. Don't deny me either of these. Remove from me vanity and lies, and don't give me poverty or riches. Just meet my daily needs. That's the way to live life. needs, not greeds. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Look in Philippians chapter 3. And so much of this is remembering. So much of it is based on remembering, because it's so easy to forget, isn't it? So easy to forget. So easy to take for granted. When was the last time you were thankful for toilet paper? This morning. But, you know, if we took the toilet paper away, oh boy, would everybody want toilet paper, right? Or how about hot water? Did you even think about that this morning? You did? Thought about that too? All right, well, you're doing good today, brother. But you get the picture, though, right? How about when you, I got you on this one. Were you thankful that your refrigerator was working? Didn't think about that, right? All that food, you're going to have to go out and dig it up, right? Or how about a supermarket? Were you thankful for that? And that you could that you have a job that pays you money, that you could actually go to the supermarket and just pick out whatever it is you want to eat and not stand before, you know, like to stand before the ice cream. Okay, I love this example. Years ago this came to me. But, you know, people are so unthankful. It's the whole country. People tend to be so unthankful. They are standing before the freezer section in the supermarket looking at the ice cream. And there's all kinds of ice cream, all kinds of flavors, all kinds of, whether it's creamy or light or, you know, heavy or whether it's got toppings, mix-ins in it, or whether it's in a cone form or whether it's in a pop form or whether it's in a sandwich form or whether it's cookies with ice cream in the middle or whether it's tubs of ice cream. And you tell me you never did this. Now, you stand in front of this thing, and you look at all of this, and you go, you don't have anything. Right? I mean, it's like walking to Baskin and Robbins, you got 58 flavors, and you go, I got nothing. Right? Or you look on demand, you're looking at movies, there's 300 movies, 48,000 channels, and there's nothing to watch. It's just the nature of mankind that more and more and more stuff, less and less and less thankful, more and more taking things for granted, so easy to forget. Well, I don't think it's that easy for a veteran of one of our wars or conflicts to forget the shrapnel that's lodged in their flesh somewhere, or the limb that's missing, or the family members who are missing the individual who gave their life's blood, going all the way back to the founders. And yet there are people today who don't even know who the first president of the United States is. There are people today who don't know who Jesus Christ is and what he did. For those of us who do know, let's not forget. Let's stay mindful so that we can be thankful and not take anything for granted. You know what? You'll be so much happier. There's no happiness or joy in being unthankful, ungrateful, and complaining about every little thing. When you're thankful for the things you've got, then life sings. When you're unthankful for your situation or some portion of your situation, look, nobody's life is perfect. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for the Lord to return. Nobody's body is perfect. We're waiting for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when we see him as he is, when we know even as we are known, and when our bodies, our mortal bodies, are made immortal, and we are fashioned like as he is, that our bodies are no longer vile bodies of humiliation, but they are glorious, incorruptible bodies. That day is coming. Everybody's got something in life that sucks, some physical something, some family something, some financial something, something. There's always something, right? Always something. Always. Nobody's got it. You know, like my dad used to say, no friction. Nobody lives like that. There's friction in life. Can't live life, no friction. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Look in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I was going to go over a bunch of scriptures with you, but we're going to truncate that quite a bit because of our time concerns. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 1, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then there's a number of things named there. Look at Psalm 105. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. To seek his face means to seek to have that relationship with him. That's what that's talking about. Seek that. You know, men may forget, but God does not forget. Look at Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of them that hated him, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness in their souls. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up in the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. You study the children of Israel and the things they did from the time they were delivered. Oh, Lord. God would do these incredible things, and they'd be right back doing the same thing again. Well, none of us are that bad. I have yet to set up a golden calf in my backyard. How about you? Take your wife's earrings, melt them down, make golden images? None of us do that. So why would God not take care of us? If he took care of these people, he would forgive them again and again. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, which hath done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in that land of Ham, terrible things by the Red Sea, terrible meaning awesome. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and so on and so forth. He continued to deliver them, and Moses continued to stand in the gap. What a tremendous record. Something we should remember. And we should be thankful. They weren't thankful for Moses standing in the gap for them, but we should be thankful for individuals who stood in the gap for us, starting with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He spanned the chasm between man and God. He stood in the gap so that there is no longer any wide separation between those of us born of God's Spirit and the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of all. We have full access because of what Jesus Christ did. And then there's this country we live in, based on Christian principles. Don't let anybody tell you differently. This country of ours has survived, and the base document, the base government, has survived longer than any other government in history. We're a young country. We're a young government, but still older, more long-lasting than any government in history. And why? Because our rights, our liberties are preserved, and the acknowledgement of a creator is at the very essence, very nucleus of what that preservation was based upon. People may forget, God does not. Look in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because they wouldn't listen to him, children of Israel. Jeremiah 2. Whoops, went right into Isaiah there. And verse 32, very latter part of the chapter. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? No. Of course, my wife could forget the topping for Lydia and Zane's wedding cake, right? Well, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. But isn't it true? People in life forget all kinds of things, but don't forget things that they think are special, right? That woman getting ready for the wedding doesn't forget to do this and that and all the details, right? Even on a regular basis, people, you know, primp, right? Primp and all that other stuff. And yet, primp and, you know, prance in front of the mirror. Do I look good with those eyebrows? We want the dramatic eyebrows. Look at those eyebrows. Wow. You know, turn them up, make it look like there's always a question. You look astonished all the time. They don't forget that. How could they forget God? How could any of us forget God? Do you forget to eat? If you smoke cigarettes, do you forget to smoke cigarettes? Do you forget to put your pants on this morning? Don't answer that, Sean. So why forget God? Yet people do. Reminds me of that record in Luke where Jesus healed the lepers, and out of 10 lepers, only one returned. All the rest forgot. They all got healed. How come only one returned? Because men do that. Let's conclude in Ephesians 2. You must hurry, though. You can look up that record I spoke of in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Regarding the lepers that were healed. I think you'll find it quite refreshing. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Talking about Jesus Christ and all God's done for us, and how we are saved by grace. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. We weren't always Christian. We weren't always saved. There was a time when all of us were strangers from the covenant, foreigners, having no hope without God in this world. Not a good place to be without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then verse 19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household of God. Let's remember all that God has done for us and never forget it. And on this Memorial Weekend, let's be thankful for the lives that we are permitted to live, for the men and women who have stood in the gap and defended our liberties. And let's not take our liberties for granted. And whenever and wherever we have an opportunity to stand up for them, let's not fail to do so. Let's continue to walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and let's continue to pray for this great nation of ours. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your love. Thank you for this day. And Father, we give thanks for the things you've done for us through your Son, for your Word, and for our wonderful servicemen and women who have done so much over the centuries to preserve our freedoms and liberties. Help us, Father, to be mindful of all the blessings we have and never take them for granted. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.